Blog Talk Radio.
Batting down the hatches, the three of us are back, and the three of us have been really keeping it going here, as we have no way to track down these other guys. We put the most wanted posters up on all the rest of the guys in this group, including Captain Jet. He must be busy. I know John Guy must be busy. And the cast of characters, whether it's the masturbator or whatever else there is out there, we're trying to find them. The Eat Me Cooking Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, Eli Racevich in Indiana, and then we've got Peggy Palmer in Florida, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 60 minutes goes by quick. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, and hand off the mic to you, Eli, as I jumped in here, and I didn't even realize that you're the guy that opens up the show. We're having so much fun. You take it away. I'll come back at about the 435, 440 mark on the Pacific Coast, 735, 740 to wrap the last 20 minutes with you as I man the boards as you're 122 strong.
All righty, Mark. Well, first of all, our listeners, thank you so much for listening. We know the three of us appreciate it more than you'll ever know. I know I do. Heck, I'm in a good mood.
I am in the best mood I've been
for the Eat Me podcast in months. Now, I'm still miserable awaiting my back surgery, but as you know, it's opening day, or you may not, Peg. I bet you do. It's opening day for Major League Baseball. Usually a boring professional sports, but I still like to watch baseball. And here's the crazy thing. My three favorite teams in sequence are Reds, Yankees, and Twins. All 3-1.
All right.
Yeah, that's good news.
That's awesome. Super. I'm a Minnesota girl, so I'm going for the Twins. That's great.
I've been a Twins fan since I was a little kid, and they had Harmon Killebrew, Rod Carew, Jim Cotton, those guys. Tony Oliva. I mean, those were good teams.
Yeah. I bet those baseball cards are worth something these days. I kid you not,
when we moved to Indiana, Mom threw all my baseball cards out. I had a Nolan Ryan rookie card.
Oh, boy.
He wasn't very good then, though. He wasn't very good when he first came up and had no control. That card is worth huge bucks. But I always liked him because he threw hard. I like guys who throw hard.
Yeah,
did
me
you watch
too.
Baseball? You watch baseball?
It's been a while since I've been to a baseball game or watched. I'm trying to think of. It's been a few years actually since I watched a baseball game. Been to a game. But it's such an all-American sport. Baseball players always look so. You know, they look so all-American, squeaky clean. It's fun to watch.
It is. We obviously don't have a professional team or a major league team here in Indian, no place. But we live so close to Chicago, you know, with a couple teams there, Cincinnati, Cleveland, St. Louis. So, I mean, we go to a few games a year. And my boys go see several Reds games a year.
Cool. We already have a couple callers. We've got 145 listeners already. Joey from Bucks County says Ohtani needs to hone up. 4.5 million taken, no emotion. Yeah, right.
I don't know really what that is. Oh, some guy he knows and supposed to take care of his money basically gambled away $4.5 million.
Oh my God!
And now Ohtani's being accused of throwing games, so. No pun intended, since he also pitches. Well, maybe the pun is intended. a lot of people abhor puns, Peg, but I love them.
And Fran from Utica, New York says, going to Brewers Mets tomorrow, rained out today. So,
Mets. You know, I, our podcast is Eat Me, Peg. So I think it's I feel always obligated to talk about food for a bit.
We're
in the process of selling my very cute, very attractive house in Old Speedway, right near the track, and we've been going back and forth getting that one ready and moving into her palatial estate in Indiana's version of Beverly Hills called Carmel.
So, right.
You know,
that's a big job.
I've got that back surgery coming up. So, I mean, I'm in pretty much misery, but I did manage to find, which leads me into the food thing. You know, we packed up all the stuff here to eat. Well, some of this stuff I've had packed away for a while. So what I didn't eat any unusual concoctions this week, but I did eat something that was expired almost 3 years, Peg.
Oh, boy. What was that?
We have a Russian deli on the north side called Babushka's Grandma's.
Ooh.
And I like to go there because almost everything in there is imported from the Balkans. So I get to eat, like, you know, my grandma growing up, my grandma's food. So I found jar of beet salad, and you know, I had carrots and a few other things. It's very tasty and sweet. Expired almost 3 years. Opened that bad boy up, ate it for lunch, not a problem. Did that early in the week, so if I got sick, I can tell our glorious listeners about it. But no effect as usual on my digestive system. Stacey
you
says,
must have a really good digestive system.
Yeah, she says it's like one of those metal grinders, you know, where you throw big steel beans and shit in there and it grinds it up. She goes, my insides must be like that.
No, they're red from beet juice probably, huh? From salad that you
only thing that got me is I am type 2 diabetic, so it was a little sweet, a whole jar, but I managed. And like for tonight, we're trying to get back down to the Speedway house to get some things done. Because we've had several showings already, but we still need to do a few things, empty some cabinets and stuff. So I didn't have time to make a healthy dinner I usually have. So Stacy goes, go get a, won't throw the brand name out there, but go get the pizza, Max. So I did. And it's about 4 minutes from my Speedway house. I got home. And Stacy, I set it on the counter, and Stacy's like, you going to eat any of that? I'm like, I ate half of it. She goes, you couldn't have. Well, she was horrified when she opened the box and half of it was gone. Not only can I eat tired, crappy stuff, I can consume mass quantities in a hurry. Yeah, I developed that for a couple reasons. When I played football, I was really small for an old lineman. I could not keep weight on. I remember once in the playoffs, we went to Chicago, and they had a bunch of slobs on the Chicago team. They noticed my name on my bag, and so we're talking to them, and they get ready to head to the locker room, and they go, what do you play, fullback, linebacker? I said, no, I'm a center. They thought I was joking because I was so little. I only weighed like 255, and so when the game started, all the defensive guys are like, oh, you weren't lying. You really are a center. I'm like, yep. But I had to eat so much. I had to eat constantly, and I just could not keep weight on. And then when I became a policeman, you know, seldom did I have time to eat lunch because, you know, here in Indianapolis, we're only about 35% short of our recommended staffing level. So, I mean, lunch was like, for some reason, you can't unionize police in Indiana. Couldn't get in our contract that we are guaranteed lunch. So, you know, if you didn't get to eat, oh well. So.
Oh well.
And I tried. I made some enemies on the police department when we first merged with the city police. I wanted. We can't unionize here, but we can't have unions represent us. And as you know, well, Indianapolis has hosted the Super Bowl. Actually, it was one of the targets for me. The Super Bowl, we hold a lot of NCAA finals, quarterfinals, blah, blah, blah. I wanted the team. People are like, well, you can't strike. What good does that do? I said, no, but if the Teamsters represent us, I guarantee you nothing's going to get delivered. He said, try putting that Super Bowl on with no food or drink.
Oh, yeah.
Provided a bunch of weenies and didn't want to do it, so.
That was a good strategy, though. Did you hear about,
I just saw David
in Barnstable, Massachusetts, which is on Cape Cod, they have robotic dogs that went in where a guy was in his house, you know, threatening people or something,
yeah.
and the guy shot the robotic dog, and thank goodness it was a robotic dog, so it wasn't a real dog. But I sent the dog back to the factory, and I guess it's a big thing now. Did you ever have robotic dogs when you were on the police force?
We made a technology jump in the robot that we used to send inside. It was phenomenal. Indianapolis is broke. I mean, we barely get the trash picked up. So we never got a dog. But have you seen those military versions of those dogs?
No.
Terminator dogs. It's like Terminator dogs. They're amazing.
Yep. It'd be nice if we just have robots fight all the wars and take care of all of that so we wouldn't have people getting killed, that's for sure.
We tried that in the Terminator movies, Peg. It didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just looked in the mirror. I just realized I haven't shaved for 5 days. God. Scary thing is, I've got a beard.
You always look like a movie star.
A real beard at 7. Holy moly. Oh, the sun's in my face, so I can really see it in the mirror. Oh, dang. No wonder I look crazy. You know, I've got hair past my shoulders now, and I look like most people look if they haven't shaved for a week and a half, 2 weeks. I've got all that testosterone flowing through me, Peg.
Yeah. Good thing for Stacy. Hey, that's great.
Yeah. Hey, how's your weather down there, girl?
It was windy today, but it's really, we can't complain. It's in the 70s and it's beautiful, and we're all kind of looking forward to Easter when the birds say goodbye and head back north again. So it's not quite so hectic and busy on the roads. And it's going to be my birthday on Easter this year, so that's going to be a special day.
Is it really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
39 years old. I'll tell them how old you are. I know you're not supposed to tell ladies' age, but.
Yeah, I'm like 19 and a half, so maybe
yeah.
not. In my mind.
We're going to have a nice, or at least a warm day Saturday. It's supposed to be around 70. But it's going to rain, which bums me out because it's opening car show day.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I remember seeing that you were.
Yeah. Casey's all crappy because I want to get the GTI out of storage and enter it. She doesn't think my back will hold up to it, cleaning it, getting it cleaned.
Oh, you better take care. You don't want to make it worse before.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Thank you.
I just have to take my time and do it. I think she's more mad that I won't be able to do something at the house.
It's amazing how you keep going with all the bionic stuff you've had done. You know,
this
your
will be
back being out.
This will be implant 5 and 6. Number 5 and 6. I'm getting my spine. This one might slow me down a bit. Getting my spine fused in two places.
Ouch.
Which is from just from people who've had it. That it's happy. I'm getting on the top one, I'm getting three of those metal crossbars that attach to the vertebrae. I'll have four metal rods, those, and I'll have three artificial discs there. Then on the bottom implant, it'll be the same, except I'll have four crossbars, six rods, and four discs. And I know.
Wow, do you have trouble getting through airport check-ins with all that metal?
You know, funny, my knees and hips don't set it off. Said it's tuned to not set it off with titanium. So I'm thinking, well, that's pretty stupid because somebody could withstand the pain, just do it at a titanium insert in their thigh.
Oh, yeah. You think so? I'm lucky.
Yeah,
I don't have any.
I know it's going to be You know, it's going to be a crappy surgery because they're going to keep me two nights. They didn't even keep me overnight on my knee replacements in one of my hips.
Really? Really? I would think they'd keep you at least a couple days.
I was up walking an hour after I got out of recovery. On the first knee, they had to come get me because I wandered off down the hall, which I wasn't supposed to do.
Oh, my God. Most people say that the knees are the most painful, more painful than hip. But you're going to be able to give us a report on hospital food then next when you after that surgery.
Yeah, hospital. Hey, Vincent, where I go, hospital food is good. It's all outsourced. So you fill it out in the morning for the three meals you want, or I'm sorry, you fill it out at night for the three meals you want the next day, and it's basically catered.
Yeah, you know, at our hospital here, the guys who bring the food are wearing like little tuxedo kind of things. They just really, really do it up in style. And the cafeteria in the hospital is amazing.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, hospital food was like God Almighty. School food even tasted better.
But, that's what I remember.
Now it's good.
Yeah.
Now I tell you what, though, that pizza at school. Those square pieces of pizza they gave you, that's pretty good stuff. I'd still eat that.
You know, I remember back on the day, this is when I was like in first grade or something, but they used to have like a plate of like government-issued beans, just like kidney beans. It wasn't really like chili. I don't know what it was, but it was disgusting. And we used to put it in our milk cup and try to get away with not eating it because they would, of course, check and make sure that you ate your meals.
Oh, Lordy. And I don't know about you guys, but we always had those frozen sprinkle cup fries.
Nope, we didn't have that. I can't remember any good thing that we ever had. It was always best to just
we had those.
Own.
They usually had those with Sloppy Joes. But the Sloppy Joe was runny, man. It was like, oh, a Sloppy Joe should be thick, so you plop it on there, you know. Not go running off the side in a big pile of grease.
Ew, yeah.
I ate it anyway.
I remember, and the other thing that they'd have is like green beans that were that canned kind of grayish color. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. They're probably in like... 2 gallon cans too. They cut the top off and plop them in that old aluminum pan to eat them. You betcha. Oh, I got some good hair news this week. Stacy does not like long hair, and you know, before I retired, I met her. Before I met her, I used to always say I would never get another haircut as long as I lived. When I retired, well, she hates long hair, so we compromised on shoulder length and. Mine's down past my shoulders, which that's pretty good growing from top hair where I'm at now in less than 13 months. And anyway, my favorite place to eat meatloaf, Charlie Brown, here in Speedway, Indiana, on Main Street. The owner, Liz, was in there. Liz is a little older than I am. She's in her 70s. Still a pretty spry lady. You don't want to mess with her. I'm sitting there, and Liz comes up, and she goes, hey, I didn't hardly recognize you with all that hair. I said, yeah, I was wondering now. You thought about it. So she starts petting it, and she goes, man, you have really nice hair. She goes, you know, you're retired, aren't you? I said, yeah, that's why I got hair. And I told her, I said, well, I'll be 68 this year. And she goes, do you dye your hair? I'm like, no, it's natural. I said, there's a few grays in there. But she kept going on and on about how long and pretty my hair was. So I'm looking at Stacy like, yeah, see, the old ladies like my hair.
We can remember when long hair was so cool. Yeah.
My mom and I used to argue and fight about having hair length. Because my mom, I swear to God, bless her heart, love her. You know, she's hadn't been dead but a few months. I tell her, Mom, I'm not in the Army like your brothers. I want hair. I want to look like a normal kid. You know? She always wanted that G.I. Joe look. And she always made me keep it short. And, well, I'll tell you how old I am, Pig. Junior high, they made us get haircuts or they'd kick us out of school.
Yeah, I remember when guys couldn't have their hair even touching their collars. That's how short it had to
be,
you know.
And it was like that for when I went to junior high in West Virginia. But when I moved to Indiana, they didn't care. So I look like European depictions of the Christ. Well, I got, although my senior year for my mom, my senior pictures after they took a yearbook pictures, I got my hair cut really short. I mean, just, you know, 60 or 70s short businessman cut. Crazy thing is, it looked like Clark Kent. Would have been a great Superman.
Oh, yeah. That fits your character. I never got my hair cut till I was 14 years old, so I had really, really long hair. And I had long braids, and I'd be walking home from school, and there was a big Catholic school in our little town where I lived, and they would have days off, you know, for Saints Days and stuff, and the guys would hang around kind of in the alleys, and you'd be walking home, they'd grab me by my braids. It was crazy. Or we're skating, we'd go skating on the pond, and those braids were, like, really easy to grab a hold of. It was wild. And then when I got it cut, it went from being kind of blondish to being really dark. It was really strange how the color changed when I got it cut.
It is. That happened to me, too. You can, you know, Peg, you see pictures of me on Facebook. My hair is really light brown with a tinge of, red in it if I'm outside.
It looks reddish.
And my grandmother was a redhead. But, I had black hair until I was like 14 or 15 years old.
Really? Because your pictures that I've seen on Facebook, it looks like it was kind of a light brown, reddish brown.
Yeah, it's very light brown. And like I say, it's just got like, when I'm outside and I just wash it, you can see kind of like some little goldy red things glowing in it. But, yeah. It's bizarre. The older I get, my hair gets lighter. I told Stacy, if I live to 90, I'll be a blonde.
There you go. Well, that's silent. And you'll
I have blonde eyebrows, so.
I have a blonde
eyebrows. And nutty thing is, my beard, except for the gray in it, my beard's jet black.
Really?
Yeah,
I gotta
bizarre,
see a picture
huh?
of that.
Huh. My body hair is dark, dark brown. Oh, Harry from Sugarland, Texas said, sounds like the Monkees. Do we remember them? Of course I remember the Monkees. Who doesn't? Who was your favorite Monkey, Peg? Don't say Davy.
Let's see. Maybe Mike Nesmith. I don't.
Really? So you picked the best musician and the musical talent of all of them. Mike was really talented.
And, he was.
Yeah, so believe it or not, so was Mickey. Mickey was my favorite. I always thought he was funny. And he actually was a musician. He had to learn to play drums because they told him, you're the drummer. Because Davey couldn't play anything but the tambourine. And Peter Tork was a good guitarist. Mike was an exceptional guitarist. And so Mickey had to learn to play the drums. When they first started doing live concerts, they pretty much canned the drums. But Mickey got good, and matter of fact, Mickey still tours.
Really? I haven't seen, they're having, you know, like kind of documentaries and stuff of a lot of groups, but I haven't seen anything about the Monkees for a while. I just there's a documentary on.
A lot of people make fun of them because they were a prefab band and stuff. But I'm like, there's tons of that stuff now. They were just a trendsetter. And you go back and you start playing the Monkey songs, they had a lot of hits and some good songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were always so kind of fun and wholesome, you know? They were like a family-rated, G-rated band.
In real life, they were dopers. My good guys. Right on.
Really? You never know what the real story is behind it.
Peter got into the hard stuff, unfortunately. Yeah, I think fondly of the Monkees. Both grandmas hated them. Both grandpas didn't care if we watched them. But, man, my grandmas, both of them would rate Hades if we watched the Monkees. You know, they hated that stuff. But, look at that haircut. Yeah, it looked like girls. I look back now, hair wasn't even long. But I remember, do you remember the, I know you're only 39, Peggy, but maybe you've seen film clips of the Beatles' initial appearance on Ed Sullivan.
Yes, I do.
I remember my dad sitting on the sofa going, oh, these guys will never amount to anything. They look like girls, blah, 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 blah.
I remember when they first came out and, like, the next day at school, everybody wanted to have that Beatles sort of look. And the girls all had, you know, started the long hair and the white eyeshadow and dark eyeliner look. And everybody was dressed up like, it was like Beatles Day. It was such a big deal. It was crazy how that happened.
Betcha.
All
okay.
Those little
Who's your favorite
cute
Beatles?
Short skirts. But, yeah, it's amazing that we had so many rules when I was in school, like, if you wore a skirt, it had to be, you had to kneel down, you had to, you know, I don't think you could wear pants unless it was like really snowy weather or something in Minnesota.
Oh,
but it was,
my son.
Then after that, they got those little, everything was as short as you could get it with wild tights and go-go boots and all that stuff.
My kids went to Catholic school, and so they graduated, let me make sure, in 2008 or 9. 2009, I think, and while they were there, so that, you know, they started in 2005. The youngest ones did. Wasn't until their sophomore years that girls could wear pants to school. They wore those little plaid Catholic girls, you know, the ones that all the child molesters think so cute.
You know,
every perv in America right now that's listening to our show is Googling the Catholic girl.
The Catholic girl. I remember, like, dropping my kids off at school, and there's quite a few fairly wealthy people that live here, you know, and kids would be driving up in their BMWs, and they'd be getting out wearing these little kind of, like, Britney Spears shorts and halter tops and stuff, and I was thinking, God, my David, people would have a heart attack if they saw that. But again, we have to appeal to a certain audience. So come on, guys, are you out there fantasizing about something?
All right, since we're floating around in the olden days tonight, Peg, remember culottes?
Yes, I remember there used to be. There used to be, they were called, skorts, I think. It was like a culotte, only it was kind of more like a wide-legged short, and they were shorter. And one day, like, about 15 of us wore them to school because you weren't supposed to wear them to school, but they couldn't send us all to the office, you know, and send us home. So that was like a breakthrough in the dress code.
Couldn't wear jeans with your letter sweater when I was in school.
Really?
You wore your letter sweater. You had to wear slacks and dress shoes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a jeans wearing kind of guy. I mean, I grew up on a farm. I'm country as can be, but I love to wear jeans. Good fitting jeans. I don't like it all baggy in the seat and everything. You know, I like them to fit right. I used to have a lot of caboose, so now I got flat old man butt, Peggy. Since I can't do squats anymore because of my artificial knees and hips.
Oh, God. Well, I remember when guys used to wear, like, loafers with no socks. You probably don't remember that. And they would have to go home. You had to wear socks. You could not get away with.
Send them home for that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I
wear those no-see socks, you know, that are just below the top of your shoe. So they would have tried to send me home. Then I would have pulled that shoe off and say, yeah, what about this? But I've always been a rule breaker, Peggy.
Yeah. I think that especially when you're younger, rules are just kind of made to be broken. That's part of the reason why even now I kind of really cringe at the thought of living in a condo or a community where you have all these rules where you can't put a potted plant here and you can't have a birdhouse and you can't do this or that, can't park here. I just hate that. I know people like, some people love the rules.
The closest thing we have to Nazis in America is probably homeowner associations.
Oh, my God. I can't believe them. And you know, when people are, let's say, more mature, they don't have as much to worry about except, like, what their neighbors are doing, I guess. They are always, like, driving around and inspecting, you know,
oh, yeah.
Oh, so-and-so put this there and did that. And that's crazy. I guess I'm a country person, too. I like to have freedom. If I want to just go out in my backyard, my nightgown, and walk around or whatever, or, you know, I hate the idea of having to be told what to do.
Well,
and, of course, when
I
go to the nude beaches.
Yeah, you like going to the nude beaches. They probably couldn't have done that in school, huh?
Sure.
It would have made school a lot more fun, though, Peg. Can you imagine? You had to get a permission slip from your parents to go to a nude beach.
Oh, God. A field trip.
Yeah, field trip. In biology, no less.
Did you ever go skinny dipping?
I think I had a pool in my backyard. What do you think? I was in school.
I bet you did.
My sister always had some hot friends, so, you know, I was always trying to move in on them. I never realized how popular you were in school in the 70s, early 80s. You had an in-ground pool. Amazingly, when we had that pool put in, I became increasingly popular.
I bet. Was that in Indiana already, or was that still in West Virginia?
I went to high school in Indiana.
Yeah, pool.
Indianapolis, Ben Davis, the defending state champion in football and basketball.
Yeehaw, great for you.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's right.
No wonder all those girls are hitting around in your pool.
Oh, yeah, my mom had remarried a Cherokee, and I remember a couple times, let's just say a girlfriend and I would be out in the pool area, I'd see George go to the back door, pull a little curtain back just a little on the, like, draping. He'd just smile and shut the curtain. He never ratted me out, Peg.
That's a good stepdad, huh? Oh, that's great.
Hey, well, even, you know, I wasn't even too mad. I was like 19 years old, and he unfortunately drank, ate a lot, and he crashed my motorcycle, which, you know, I was 18, I didn't insure it. And
what kind of motorcycle did you have?
I was just a Honda 450. And
I had a Honda 150 Dream, my one and only motorcycle. That was a beautiful bike.
Did you have that?
When I lived in Wisconsin, my dad and my brother were both big on, you know, go-karts and cycles and motors and taking everything apart. So I got in an accident. I totaled my car, and I decided I don't want to have a car ever again. I need a motorcycle, and then I can just be free on the road, you know, and I won't have the – I don't know. That's a crazy way to think, but I was young. So I got this Honda 150 Dream, just cherry condition. It was beautiful. The only trouble was it was so heavy. If kick start wouldn't work, and I couldn't get it back up because it was so heavy, and I wasn't that strong to get it back up again. But I thought it was pretty cool with it. That was fun.
I'm going to ask a question, Peggy. How short are you?
Well, unfortunately, I've begun to shrink, which is a scary thing. I'm about 5'4".
Oh, so you're taller than I thought you were.
Really?
We're looking at your pictures. You're like 5'1", maybe 5'2" at the most. I'll be darned.
No, about. Well, I think I was 5'5" a few years ago, but last time I got measured, I was 5'4". It's so weird.
Well, it happens. I'm 3/4 inch shorter than when I went to. I showed up for college to play football. They measured me at 6'1" and 5'8". I'm 6 feet and 3/4 inch now, so I've lost 3/4 inch.
Huh. I guess it's just everything settles down.
Yeah, and your cartilage.
You think your bionic stuff would hold you up?
Fine, doctor, since they're going to put all those metal rods and connectors in those artificial discs, I said, hey, is there any way you could stretch me out and give me my height back? He goes, you will be a tiny bit, you know, a small bit taller when we're done. I'm like, yeah, get my full 6'1" again. Well, they did. When I got my new knees and hips, I was in a really bad accident once. In fact, broke my leg in 8 places, and I had to wear an insert in my left shoe because my left leg was shorter. They took all that slack out, and I don't have to wear an insert anymore.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
I noticed when I just, you know, a few months ago, I injured a tendon in my foot, and so I started kind of walking with a limp and wearing a boot for a while till I got back into shape. And now I notice that leg is just a little bit weaker. I went to the gym and had a, you know, fitness assessment thing, and I thought, now I gotta strengthen one side so I catch back up with this. So I don't have to walk around with a limp all my life. But
I hadn't had any problem, and then the last 2 weeks I've noticed, you know, because of my back issue, I've noticed my right leg is getting considerably weaker. It's a lot worse than the left leg with the spine problem. So I've got to hold on till May 20th. So if I can just keep going till then, I'll be good.
Oh, good. Hey, I hope that all goes out for you. Yeah, 307.
All right. Well, we hope we're not boring any of our listeners. In all seriousness, Peg, we all love these listeners, and we're so so happy to have them, and we love talking to you guys. And as soon as Mark gets back in, you guys start firing some messages off. Tell us what you want to talk about or your observations on things. We're kind of reminiscing tonight, which I'm enjoying, and I hope they're enjoying it, Peg. I love every now and then I get nostalgic for the old days.
Yeah.
Oh, which brings me to a big Facebook thing. Do you mind if I talk about Facebook for a minute?
No, I was just thinking about that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, people are always posting this thing about make America this, bring America back, make America like it was in the, you know, 40s, the 50s, the 60s, all this crap. But you know, Peggy, I look fairly white, but I'm not all white. And I see those and I think, you know, for a working class and above white Americans, America was a pretty dang good place. But you know what? If you're black or you're Indian, it wasn't very good sometimes.
No. And I was thinking kind of on that same vein is how little we know about other peoples and other cultures and other countries. I was watching a program today about, it was actually like the story of Moses, but it was done like a documentary sort of with comments and stuff. And I thought, you know, why do we ever learn about what people in the Middle East think about things other than they're kind of constant enemies for some reason? I mean, we do so little to understand each other's cultures. It's kind of strange in this country that we're so tied up in our own little world.
You know, my father and his parents were from Serbia. So when the Balkans War broke out, the 90s Balkans War, I had to explain to everybody what was going on. You know, they're like, well, aren't they all the same? I'm like, no, you idiot. I said, Yugoslavia has like 7 languages. It was 9 countries they combined. You know, the Orthodox versus Catholics, everybody against the Muslims. Speaking of Orthodox, I'm Serb Orthodox, and we use the old calendar. So very seldom does our Easter and what I call everybody else's Easter fall on the same day. So what I do is like this coming Easter, this weekend, regular Easter, I celebrated that with my kids, and I still do, as to me, that is Easter for the Easter bunny and chocolate and frivolity and having fun. You know, I jokingly call pagan Easter. And then on the old calendar Easter, which is about 5 weeks, which we Orthodox call Pascha. Old people at church yell at you if you say Easter. They're like, Pascha! I'm like, well, that's why we have declining populations, because you're a turd. But anyway, that's how I do that. So I will do all the fun, goofy stuff. But I have a 5-foot chocolate bunny I put in my car in the passenger seat and drive around with him.
what a riot.
I even did it in a police car, Peggy.
You got it.
And somebody complained.
About the giant bunny with that
symbol
pop.
Of Easter. I'm like, I said, it is not a symbol of Easter. I said, it's a 5-foot chocolate rabbit. How you get religion out of that? I said, that is just absurd. So I took it out, but I stuck it back in there the next day.
I was just looking at Facebook and how, you know, peeps are, I don't know how long peeps have been around, but peeps and Easter have been around as long as I can remember, for sure. And most, I don't like them, so I don't really know if some people probably eat them and stuff, but they're kind of fun to play with.
I have a syringe of insulin ready when I start eating them.
Well, there's an artist who started, like, putting the peeps in different situations, like on motorcycles, driving little motorcycles, and on the toilet, reading the newspaper, in the the tippy header and the birds, only they're peeps.
Oh yeah.
Crazy.
Have you ever microwaved a pig?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Have you ever microwaved peeps?
No, I haven't. I bet they blow up just like marshmallows, though.
Well, yeah, when they go on 90% clearance a week after, 2 weeks after Easter, get you one, and just put them in the microwave, turn it on, watch them for a few minutes. They get giant size.
I bet you could mix them with stuff, too. For some reason, I'm thinking somebody put a peeps on a pizza, and they blew up like that.
If you have a waffle maker, you know, the kind where you pour the stuff in there, you know, and you flip it over and all that, if you grease the heck out of it, you could even make peep waffles. I'll put a peep
waffles.
Yeah, I'll put a peep on each side of the waffle thing, you know, left and right, pour some batter in there and close it. And make me a Peeps waffle. My kids loved them because they had like a little birds and bunnies in the waffles.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Did you dye Easter eggs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do it on what I call Pagan Easter, which is this weekend, and Pascha. The red ones have significance to us in the Orthodox faith, so you have to have red egg for everybody. It's for rebirth and resurrection.
Do you
have to have
those Ukrainian Easter eggs that are all so elaborately carved and stuff?
We do make them fancy, but we don't do all the stat stuff. No.
Mm-hmm.
We also do the Easter egg hunt with the kids. So it's it's a good combination of religion and having a good time. I always took a wiener dog with me to Easter egg hunts with my kids because a dog would find the eggs that were hard to find.
Yeah,
I had
that was weird.
People will say, what are you doing with a dog? I said, it just goes everywhere. Yeah, so the hard to find eggs, my kids would always get them because my wiener dog would find them.
I bet your dog really thought that was fun, too.
Well, wiener dogs, I mean, they love, you know, a lot of people have taken all the hunting out of them, but wiener dogs were bred to be hunter dogs, and that hunt instinct is still strong in them. All my girls, I only had one boy wiener dog, so all my girls, I mean, if there was a rabbit ever on our property, you definitely use the past tense, was, because those wiener dogs would get it. Very seldom did a rabbit get away. And I always had two wiener dogs,
they would do the old tactical V, where they would a wiener dog on each side, and could draw a V, the apex of the rabbit at the point of the V, where they would move up tactically. You know, one dog would advance to see how the rabbit would do, then the other dog would advance, then the little quick one would usually run and get the rabbit, then the bigger one or the more better fighter one would run in there and finish the rabbit off. I remember Gracie one year, you know, best friend I ever had. She got 7 rabbits in my backyard. She would bring them up, set them on the back deck mat, and just sit till I came outside. She was so proud of herself. You know, look, Daddy, I've got us a rabbit. Yeah, that's great, Gracie, great.
Yeah, I used to have cats who would go hunting and bring, like, they'd get little, like, field mice and stuff, and they'd bring them in, yeah. And you wouldn't notice them. Like, they'd catch field mice when we lived in the country. So in the middle of the night, you'd be, you know, get up, and you'd hear this crunch, and there would be a field mouse. Ugh, that's gross.
No, I love animals far more than humans and people. But I am a very ethical hunter. I only hunt what I plan on eating. And if I don't have 100% confidence in the shot where I know it's going to be instant, I will not take it. But Gracie just had such a strong hunt drive, and that she was, like you say, she was always getting the mics. Part of my lot in my house was wooded, and I lived next to a golf course, so there were a lot of critters on it. But she was always catching things, even when she was a tiny pup. Remember those pop things that kids used to throw down and make the pop sound? I got I'd put them down on the deck or the sidewalk or whatever, get her used to that snap sound. I took her out shooting at a friend's out in the country, so I shoot 22, so she get used to that. Then I moved up to a little bigger caliber rifle. Then I started I hunt rabbits with a 20 gauge shotgun, so I got her started on a 410, and finally a 20 gauge where she was used to it. And man, her drive to hunt, though, she would go in those brush piles, you know, being so low as a wiener, and she wasn't a particularly big wiener. She's only about 18, 19 pounds when she was fat. Her normal weight was about 16 pounds. But she would go in those brush trials and, you know, here come the rabbit. And like I say, if I had a good shot, I'd take it. And we'd take the, you know, didn't hunt more. I seldom took more than one because I don't think rabbit meat holds up if you freeze it or whatever. And, you know, if I would take two if I knew somebody else that would, you know, eat the other one. But, yeah, she was a good hunting little buddy. I never took anybody with me with her, though, because sometimes, you know, early in the morning, you could mistake my dog for a rabbit. And if somebody would have shot my dog, I would have shot them. So.
that's
you value your dog more than a person? I'm like, absolutely. Other than my kid, Gracie was the most important thing in the world. Hey, Peg, we're 6 away from 400, girl.
Let's go. That's great. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes. Mr. Mancini's going to be back in a couple minutes. 2 minutes, he says.
Cool. He'll have a big update on all the sports activities, I bet, too.
Mark doesn't strike me as a hunting type guy. What do you think?
I doubt it.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, a lot of people turn their nose up at hunting. And, you know, an unethical hunter's called that. And there's a lot of them. I grew up in the woods, and that's how we ate a lot of times. What my dad would send me out in the woods to, you know, hunt. Anyway, when COVID was at its peak, and, you know, there was a shortage of beef and lamb and chicken. All these people were freaking out. What are we going to do? I'm like, well, I don't know what you're going to do. I said, we have the second largest municipal park in the country here called Eagle Creek Park. I said, I'm going to go to Eagle Creek Park. Hunt some squirrels and rabbits and deer. I said, I don't know what you're going to eat, but I'm going to eat meat.
Well, I like to fish. I'm not so much now, but when I was a kid, I used to fish all the time. And in Minnesota, you know, everybody hunt. All the guys hunt for sure, and I bring back pheasants. Yeah. Pheasants were really popular, and it was always kind of scary to me because. We had a little farm site where we lived, and all around us, pheasant hunters would come. And I was always so afraid for our animals because we had two goats, a horse, about 25 chickens, and cats and dogs, and it was crazy. But one of our cats did disappear after hunting season, and it scared me because they'd always drink while they were hunting, so they'd be, you know, I always felt not very safe at all.
Yeah, well, that's not a very good mix.
No.
Hey, Mr. Mancini's with us. Mark, you there, bud?
Yeah, I am here as you tear it up again on a Thursday. And, boy, the three of us have really laid this thing down, and the consistency has worked well. Hey, you brought up some earlier things. I know somebody was bringing up a comment from about the Shohei Ohtani thing. And I know you guys, I guess, talked about it a little as it was manning the boards and stuff. I can't help but think this guy shows no emotion losing $4.5 million. Either he's pretending he doesn't understand what's going on, or he definitely understands what's going on, and they need to get Pete Rose back in the Hall of Fame.
I'll tell you, unless this guy gets a lifetime ban in April, they certainly can't keep Pete Rose out. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the evidence personally, but what I've read, it looks pretty damn confident that he was throwing games, no pun intended.
Right. And I think the thing is here, Eli and Peggy, is we understand he's the Patrick Mahomes of baseball. So I understand it's a black eye in Major League Baseball to have something like this happen, but I just don't understand how a guy can get in your account and you know nothing about it, and your name is on those things. So I find it hard to believe that he has no understanding of what's going on around him as far as that goes. And, you know, unless they're looking the other way, knowing that, hey, you know what, maybe let this guy take the fall. We'll just kind of, you know, let this thing unsurface itself. But it's going to come to the surface till we get to the bottom of it. I can tell you that.
That's a heck of a black eye for opening the game week.
Yeah.
Day week.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, if you don't want these guys to bet, the flip side of it, playing, you know, devil's advocate here, if you don't want guys to bet, then why are you bringing FanDuel and all these betting services into your company? That's the other thing I don't quite understand. So you're telling them, well, they're going to come in here and sponsor us and this and that. Oh, but by the way, you can't bet on anything. To me, it's a double-edged sword.
Well, it's like here in Indiana, we'd only got the lottery a few years ago. Gambling's bad and still illegal to gamble in Indiana unless you play the lottery. But it's okay for the state, but not – you can't gamble with you, Mark, against you, Mark. But we can – the state, we can gamble all we want with the state.
Yeah. Don't quite understand it, if you ask me. It doesn't make sense, but it is what it is. So that was one of the forefronts. The other one basically is the weather, man. The weather is just getting crazy. Out here in Los Angeles, it feels like it's, you know, Seattle weather every week. I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods. I know a couple postponements back east in Philadelphia and New York, but Eli, the meteorologist part of us coming out in the last 5 minutes and some change, how's the weather in your neck of the woods?
Well, it's been in the 20s in the mornings the last few days, and heavy, heavy frost. We're finally supposed to have a 70-degree day Saturday. It's supposed to be 70, but it's going to rain. Car show season opens. That's what really makes me mad, Mark. I love showing up.
Yeah. And you, Peg?
Well, we've had our weather is usually really pretty nice, but during the day it's been in the 70s, sometimes edging toward 80, but it's been getting down, you know, in the 60s, which is cool, but it's been really windy. It's been a very dry, windy fall and winter, and that spring was too. We just haven't had as much rain as we usually do, so everything's pretty dry.
Right, right. Yeah, it's the weather is kind of crazy, and as we look at it across the boards and everything, and man, oh man, I can't help but think, you know, I always used to know that out here in California, March would come, spring clean, the weather would be nice. You just had to get through January and February, the rainy season. Now it just seems like the cold air is hanging around till the end of April, and it starts to really, really warm up come May. So that's you know, what's happening out here. Call it a weather trend or what, but I don't know, guys. I think it's really, you know, and then when the summer comes, it's all about the fire season. We need to get more water. So go figure.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough in the Midwest where they haven't gotten much rain. The farmers, I think, are going to have a hard time because they didn't have much snow this year. So it's going to be pretty dry, I think.
Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, coming in and basically says, is Peggy playing Cottontail this weekend with Easter?
I'm going to pick her up and put her in my basket,
trail.
Mark. Right, I'll put you in my basket, Peggy. Let's go.
Wow, is that funny. Jeff's coming in from Sparks, Nevada, says, guys, they need to legalize prostitution. It's a woman's body. Oh, God.
Well, it's true. Women should be able to do with what they want to with their bodies. It's kind of
You know what? As long as everything's good, man, they're getting checked and everything, I got no problem. You know,
if
the government shouldn't come in there and tell.
It.
Yeah.
License it. Health inspections. You know, people don't realize there's a lot of gang and mob activity in prostitution. You would take away those dollars from those guys.
Yeah,
Why not tax them?
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, it's your body, so who knows? Yeah, it's unbelievable when you figure it out. Guys, Peg, you want to add something?
No, I think that people are trying to focus on things that are less important that we really should. They're distracting people from our real issues that we need to deal with, like health care and survival. And
yeah.
Just by being so obsessed with legislating women's bodies, which is I have no idea why a bunch of old men in Congress should be or should be trying to control, you know, women's bodies. If they give birth, how they give birth, they don't want to provide any funding for these children. I don't know. It just blows my mind that people who and it turns out they're always getting caught doing something that's, you know, really pretty shady, and yet they're so willing to be so judgmental of other people. I just don't understand. But
no faith in them, just God. That's all there is to it in my book. So. And I wouldn't have no quorum telling it right to their faces. As we wrap this great show up, boy, we blew out the airwaves again. Peg, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you till we reconvene next Thursday. And I want to wish you a happy Easter and a good Friday.
Thank you so much, Mark. You can get a hold of me. I'm on Facebook, Peg Palmer. And I'm the Peg Palmer from Sarasota. And or you could send me an email, which is pegpalmercreative@gmail.com. Well, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Eli, how about you, my brother? I want to wish you a good Friday and a happy Easter as well.
I'm the one and only Mac Raisovich, Raisovich. You can send me a message in Facebook Messenger. Just put something in there about Eat Me, the good kind. And I will get back with you.
Yeah, as I'm wearing a Mancini made T-shirt walking around and people are looking at me and I go, yeah, I'm propping myself up across the board here as well. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms. Wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. For Eli Raisovich in Indiana, Peg Palmer in Florida, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Can't wait to get back here next week. Tell all your friends about it as we keep picking up steam. Till then, if you see John Guy and Captain Jet, tell them we've been putting out the wanted posters for them. Have a great one, guys.
Happy birthday, Peg.